I want you to take your Bible and go to Philippians chapter number 4. And if you are using the church Bible under your chair, it's page 1223. And that'll take you there to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians 4. When floods come, anybody in here been through a flood? How many of you have been, you have lived through a flood? Raise your hand if you've lived through a flood. All right. And how many of you lost something in a flood? Raise your hand if you've ever lost something in a flood. Several. Okay. You know, I got a couple pictures here of some floods, and if you look at these pictures, you'll notice that things are being carried away here, that, you know, you got cars here, and then you look at the next picture, and you got furniture, a couch and a chair being carried away with a flood. And what happens is, flash flooding was a deal that we dealt with in Missouri. Flash floods are very dangerous because there's not a lot of warning. I mean, they come quick, and it's a very dangerous thing because, you know, things get carried away. In Australia in 2011, I believe it was, they had a flash flood. And I'm going to show you this. Go ahead, you can run it real quick. But this is a flash flood that happened. And you can see there's a parking lot here. And you can see that literally this flash flood came. And you see these cars that, and eventually all the cars you're looking at were carried away in this flood. 30 people died in this flash flood. And you'll notice that the trees are still standing, right? But you notice these cars are being carried away down, right? Look at this. There they go, you know? And what is it that trees have that cars and furniture doesn't have? Can anybody tell me? Exactly. They got roots. There's a root system. And if the root system is deep enough and extensive enough, there is no flood and there is no wind that's ever going to move that tree. That mighty oak tree that's got that root system, you know, furniture may go, houses may even go, cars may go, but yet the tree stands firm. Why? A root system. And, you know, many times what happens is we feel the force of our lives being flooded, right? Our lives are flooded with demands and deadlines and deficits and disappointments. And then if the heavy rains weren't enough, then all of a sudden a flash flood comes and you get all of a sudden a dam breaks, you know? And when the dam breaks, here it comes, man. Here comes the flood. And what I mean by that is you have the unexpected accident. You know, you have the surgery or you have the illness or the injury or the betrayal or the loss or the family crisis. And when the floods of life are coming in on you, sometimes you feel like you're going to be swept downstream, just like what we saw, like those cars and like that furniture. You feel like you're just going to be swept downstream. And there's only one solution to that. Only one solution. You have to be like those trees, and you've got to send down some roots in your life, and then you better take care of your roots. You got to put down some roots, and you got to protect those roots. And if not, you're going to be carried downstream. And that's kind of what I want to talk about for the next few weeks, is I want to talk about how that you can literally lay down some roots in your life that are going to sustain you when the floods of life come. By the way, how many of us get hit with floods? How many of us in our life we get hit with floods, huh? How many? I don't mean literal floods. I'm talking about, yeah, those kind, right? How many, in other words, how many of us have problems? Yeah. We all deal with problems, you know? And so you got to have some roots because you're going to go through those issues and you're going to go through those problems. And is peace possible in the midst of storms, yes or no? I want you to go to Philippians 4. It's kind of our theme verse. And I want you to look here at verses 6 and 7. You can bring me back a little bit now, Mike. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, be careful. That word careful there means anxious, stressed out. Be anxious, be stressed out for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can have the peace of God despite the floods, despite the storms of life. You can have the peace of God. But here's what I want to emphasize. You notice he talked about the heart and the mind. You see, peace happens at the root level of your inner spirit. I'm reminded of that verse in Ephesians that talks about how that God strengthens us by his spirit in the inner man. in the inner man. And that's where it happens. Peace happens in that inner man. Peace doesn't come by accident. You know, there's some stabilizing roots that you can send down into your inner spirit that's going to stabilize you. And peace doesn't come by accident. I've hit on this and I've mentioned this now for 3 weeks in a row, and I've got it on the banner that you got to seek peace and you got to pursue peace and you got to follow after it, the Bible says. In fact, let me bring up Romans 14:9. And notice it says, let us therefore follow after. Say that with me, follow after. Say that with me, follow after. One more time, follow after. There you go. You got it. A little bit louder. Follow after. Man, they are with it now, honey. All right. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for what? Peace. Jesus promised we could have it, but it demands active choices on our part. And the most important choice that you will ever make, I believe this so firmly in my heart, in my soul, in my spirit. I'm telling you, I believe this so firmly because I've learned this in the Bible, but I've learned it in my personal experience, that the most important choice you will ever make is to set aside some time and spend some quiet time with the Lord every day. Making sure that you are connecting with God every day. And you will find that this will be your primary stress reducer. I guarantee it. It will bring a calm to your spirit like you cannot imagine. When life's going crazy and floods are coming and storms are raging, you'll be like the eye of the storm. You will have a peace that passes all understanding. It's going to provide you a level of contentment and peace and security and assurance like you could have never, ever imagined. I know there's been times in my life when I've neglected this root. I have not nourished this root. I have not protected this root in my life like I should have. And there's been times in my life, and I paid for it. I paid for it with my stress level. I paid for it relationally. I paid for it, with not having that peace of God in my daily life. But I'm telling you, there's been times, so many wonderful times in my life, when just every day I was carving out that time to meet with God every day, to focus on Him, to love on Him, to take my cares, as we sung about, and give them to Him. Take His word, and maybe it's just 4 or 5 verses, but you're thinking on it and you're meditating on it, and it's getting inside of you, and it sends down a stabilizing root in your life like you could never imagine. It is the primary stress reducer. I want to give you, over the next few weeks, basically a root system. I want to share with you some things and choices that you can make that are going to provide for you a root system that will absolutely guarantee that will stabilize you during the storms of life, the floods of life that come your way. And this first one is very important. This is a very important root because it deals with you and God. It deals with you and God. It deals with your personal connection with God every day. You know, the thing is, I cannot connect my wife with God. No, she has to make that choice. I cannot connect my kids to God. They have to make that choice. It's a personal connection that you make with God each and every day. And we're going to see that you were built and created to do this. And it's a stabilizing root. The first thing I want to give you is this. And I want to give you some help with this, all right? I think by the end of the message, you'll be ready to go, all right? If you don't already have this in your life, you'll be ready to establish this root. Number one, your quiet time with God has to become a priority. That's number one. It's got to become a priority. In your handout, it says that we were built to begin our day with our Creator, all right? So I want you to write that in your handout. We were built to begin our day with our Creator, all right? In Genesis 3:8, it says that Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. There was a nuclear submarine by the name of Thresher, and they were doing some submergence test about 200 miles off the coast of New England, and it went down deeper than it was pressurized to go because of some mechanical malfunctions. And what ended up happening, this nuclear submarine went down too deep to where the outside external pressure was greater than the pressure on the inside. And unfortunately, that nuclear submarine, 1963, it imploded and it killed everybody aboard. And it was simply because the external pressure was greater than the internal pressure. And in our life, many times these pressures of life come at us. And when we are meeting with the Lord every day, that quiet time with God provides a presence that is greater than the pressures of yesterday or the pressures that are going to be ahead today. It helps to equalize that pressure in your life when you're meeting with Him each and every day. In your handout, it says that since the very beginning of time, men and women have been incomplete without their daily walk with God. Now, some people may not admit that. Some people may not get it. They may not want to say that that's true, but yet it is true. There is an incompleteness in us without that daily walk with God. And I think I gave you some examples there in your handout. If you look at that, some great men of God just providing an example for us, really. The Bible says that things in the Old Testament were written as an example and an admonition for us. And as I look in the Old Testament, I see a lot of men here. Abraham, he rose up early to stand before the Lord. Jacob rose up early to worship God. Moses rose up early to go meet the Lord at Sinai. David, he talks about in Psalm 63:1 how he would rise up early to seek God. Then you move to the New Testament and boom, I mean, Jesus is such an example for us. I want to show you a verse about Jesus. Can we bring that up? It says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and he departed into a solitary place." And what did he do, church? He prayed. Now, if Jesus thought it was important, then I would say it's important. Amen. You know, if Jesus thought this was important enough to carve out time, then I would say it's really important. And you know, the disciples, many mornings must have wondered where he was. Like, man, where's Jesus? I don't know. He's gone again. You know, they get up. He's already gone, you know, and he's having that quiet time with God. And I think that there's a lesson to be learned here. And listen, I guarantee you that there's always, there's going to be reasons why we cannot have our quiet time with God. Always going to be reasons. You know, well, by the time I get up and get the kids off to school, and by the time I do this and that, there's just no time left. Or, you know, man, I got to get at work so early, there's just no time. Or, you know what, I got this going on, I got that going on, I got this person that wants to, you know, a chunk out of me, I got that person that wants a chunk out of me, and there's just no time, you know. Man, I got to get at school so early in the morning that there's just no time. And, of course, we all can come up with reasons, but we all get 24 hours a day. And when we say, Lord, I can't, you know, I don't have time to spend 15 minutes with you. Basically what we're saying is, sorry, Lord, I just can't squeeze you in. I'm a busy guy and I just can't squeeze you in. I'm a busy gal. I just don't have time to focus on you. I don't have time to talk to you for 15 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it may be, 5 minutes, a half hour. But when you fail, here's the deal, all right? When you fail to protect that quiet time with God, boom, you end up racing into another day with your spiritual gas tank on empty. And that's not good. Remember what we learned from Thresher, the nuclear submarine? Unequalized pressure causes implosions. And I looked up the word implode in the dictionary, and the definition of implode was to burst inward. Another definition of implode was to collapse inward from external pressure. Another definition was to break down or fall apart from within. The harder it is to spend time with the Lord, listen to me now, the harder it is to spend time with the Lord, the more that it's needed. Because that means life's hectic and crazy. That means you need that stabilizing root, and you gotta make it a priority. Take care of your roots, because nobody is going to do it for you. Listen, nobody is going to get up and shower for you. No one's going to brush your teeth for you, and no one's going to put deodorant on you, and we're real glad that you did all those things today, let me tell you. We're thankful. The people that are sitting close to you in church are glad you carved out time to do those things, all right? And you know what? It's on you to carve out time to get a shower. It's on you to carve out time to brush your teeth. It's on you to carve out time to put some deodorant on, you know? Why? And put clothes on. Because that's something that's your responsibility. You have to prioritize. You got to get that done. You got to carve out the time to do those things that you have to do bodily, you know? And like I said, we're glad you do it. But you know what? The point I'm making is this. Just like no one's going to carve out time for you to get a shower and brush your teeth and put deodorant on and get dressed, no one's going to carve out time for you to have quiet time with God every day. That's on you. You know, you have to make that a priority. You have to carve out the time for that. And that's my first point today, is that it needs to be a priority. The second thing I want to give you is this. Number two is that your quiet time with God requires a plan. And I want to help you with this. I want to give you five action steps, and they're simple, they're not complicated, but they're real helpful. Number one is this: set a spot. And this isn't something legalistic. It doesn't have to be in the morning, and it doesn't have to be a certain spot every day. But I think it does help to have a spot and a time that you do it most of the time, where it's like your place where you meet with the Lord. If you look at this verse, let's bring it up, Genesis 19:27. Look at that verse. It says that Abraham got up early in the morning, and then notice the next three words, to the place where he stood before the Lord. Abraham obviously had a time and a place where he would get up and he would go meet with the Lord each day and talk to God. For you, it might be your back porch. For you, it might be the front porch swing. For you, it might be a park, a neighborhood park. For you, it might be it might be a bedroom. It might be the dining room table. It might be your office. I started to say it might be your basement because I'm from Missouri, but I don't think we have any basements in here, do we? You have to decide that. But I think it helps if you have a spot where it becomes part of your schedule. It's a time, because here's the deal. If it doesn't show up on your schedule, it's probably not going to happen. All right. It's like anything else. It's like I said, you know, whether it's getting a shower, brushing your teeth, whether it's eating a meal three times a day, whether it's carving out time to spend with another person, it's got to show up on the schedule or it's not going to happen. And so I would encourage you to set a spot, set a time, all right, and just get it on your schedule that this is where I'm gonna clear off my schedule, and this is my time, my place, where I meet with the Lord. And again, you know, if you're doing nothing right now, start at 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Where you're actually talking to Him, kind of just sharing your heart with God, reading His Word, three or four verses. If you're already doing some, then you can try to increase that, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. But it's very, very important. Number two, the second practical thing I want to give you, okay, you ready? Number two, clear your mind. Clear your mind when you do this. God really wants to commune with you. He wants to talk to you, and He wants you to talk to Him. And one of the things that's going to really hurt your time is if there's too much static on the line. Anybody ever talk on your cell phone and get a bad connection and you only hear about every third word? Isn't that fun? You know, and someone's talking and you're catching about every third word, you know, and it just, it'll just drive you crazy, you know, because there's not clarity there. Well, when we come before the Lord, we don't want too much static on the line. We really have to clear our mind. How many of you have ever tried to talk to someone while they're texting? Isn't that fun? And, you know they're not hearing you. They're maybe hearing you, but they're not listening, right? And it's aggravating, right? Because people can't focus on two different things. They think they multitask. I was just reading an article. People don't multitask. All they do is they focus on this, and then they shift their focus to that. And then they shift their focus back to this, and then they shift their focus back to that. And they're shifting their focus, but they're not able to focus on both at the same time. I know some of you think you're a great driver, you're a great texter, and you can do both at the same time. Please don't do that. Because you may be a great driver and you may be a great texter, but you cannot focus on both at the same time. you're either, when you're driving, you're not texting. You're not focusing on your texting. When you're texting, you are not focusing on your driving, all right? You're just shifting your focus. You're not multitasking. You're just shifting back and forth. And that's when bad things happen, accidents happen, and people get killed, you know, because they're not focused. When you meet with the Lord, you want to be focused. Let me show you a verse. Look at this verse. It says, say it with me. You ready? Be still and know that I am God. This is God talking. And he says, be still. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're just like this, frozen.
Okay, God, I'm ready. I'm still.
Is that what it means? No. Be still means be quiet. Let there be a stillness. Let there be a quietness to your soul. Would you guys agree that's hard for us in our culture to do that? Why? Because there's always something going on. There's either the TV going, or we're surfing the web, or we're reading a text, or we're sending a text, or we're getting the latest gossip on social media, or we're got music going. It's like in our culture, we cannot stand to just be quiet, just be still. But I submit to you, that's very important. You need some time that's quiet, where you can be still and know that he is God, and let him just speak to your heart. Let him reassure you that he's there. Let him speak to you through his word. Just be still and know that he is God. Very important. Clear your mind. Be still. Don't try to do this. Don't try to have your quiet time with God with music going in the background or with the TV going. Be still and know that I'm God. There's a verse there in verse 8 in our text. Look at that with me. I think this is very applicable. Verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, say the rest of the verse with me. Think on these things. You know, it's very important to me when I read that description right there. I think, well, man, what's pure? What's lovely? What's virtuous? What's praiseworthy? And I think, well, really just a couple things, God and his word, you know? And so I think what he's saying is that you need to spend some time every day just thinking on, focusing on God and his word, and letting God then speak to you. Settle down for a few minutes and ask God to help you just to focus on him. Number three, the third principle I want to give you is this. Open your hands. I'm going to grab a Kleenex box here. And if I have a Kleenex box in my hand, all right, here it is. If I open my hand, what happens to the box? Right. I let go, boom, it drops. And when I say in your hand out there to open your hands, it's the idea of, and imagine that that box there represents the problems, the difficulties, the stresses, the pressures that you're facing. We all got them. Imagine yourself, that represents those problems and those stressful things in your life, and you're letting go. You're opening your hands as you come to the Lord and you have that quiet time, and you're letting go. And as we sung earlier and as we read in your handout there, it says, casting all your care. Do you see that in your handout? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You've accumulated a new handful since yesterday. And so today we come and we turn those things over to a God that's concerned, to a God that cares, to a God who will listen, to a God who will help us. And we turn loose and we open our hands. We clear our mind and then we open our hands and we turn those things over to him. We read there in verse 6. Go back up there again. Look at the end of verse 6. It says, with thanksgiving, let your what? Request be made known unto God. What do you want to see God do in your marriage? What do you want to see God do in your kids' lives? You want to see God do something in your kids' lives? You know, what do you want to see God do in your church? What do you want to see God do in your family? What do you want to see God do through you at work? You're taking those cares, those concerns, those requests, and you're opening your hand, and you're laying them at his feet, and you're giving those over to the Lord. Number four, when you have that quiet time with God, get an assignment. In other words, as you pray and you read the Bible, it's not a passive experience. But you're in your handout, it says, you're looking for something to do today, not just something to know. I'm not just trying to increase my knowledge. I'm actually wanting to change my life. Now, let's read in our text again. Go down to verse 9, Philippians 4, 9. Let's look at that verse. It says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what's that next little two-letter word? Do. Do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So we are looking for God to change our life. So as I meet with him and I read his word, I'm looking for an assignment. I'm looking for something I can do today. Remember the video I showed you several weeks ago? And the guy said, yeah, I was having my morning time with God. And he said, you know, every morning I try to just find something that day that I can apply to my life, something I can do that day to apply what I'm reading or what God's speaking to my heart. And that's what I'm talking about, is just when you meet with the Lord and you read his word, you know, look for something to do. Let God change your life. Number five, set your course. As you have your quiet time with God every day, set your course. Think through the events and the people that are going to be filling your day. Pray through each of them in advance. Turn over those anticipations to Christ. All right, let me give you the last practical principle today. Number three, your quiet time with God involves recognizing his presence. In other words, it's, you know, this thing of meeting with the Lord, it's got to extend into the heat of the battle. Let me bring up a verse here, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Can everybody say that with me? That's a hard verse to memorize right there, isn't it? Huh? How many of us could memorize that verse? You think we could? All right, here we go. You ready? Say it with me. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Let me bring up another one. Look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In what? All your ways. Say that with me. In all your ways. Acknowledge him, right? Meet with him. Talk to him. That's what we're saying. Quiet time with God. In all my ways, everything I got going on in my life, I acknowledge him. And what's the promise? Yep, he'll direct your path. So as I acknowledge him throughout my day, because I have that quiet time, and you could do it in the morning, lunchtime, evening, do it whenever's good for you, but it's got to go out and extend into the heat of the battle as I'm out living life. And as I do that, it gives me that special sense of going places with him and doing things with him. I'm going to the grocery store with him. I'm going to work with him. I'm having this meeting, and I'm meeting with this person, but he's there too. And I need him. And it makes a peaceful difference when you do this. You have to recognize his presence throughout the day. I gave you some suggestions in your handout. Let's write those in real quick. You ready? In your waking moments, man, your first conscious thoughts, let them be towards the Lord. Thank him that he got you up another day, you know? And that's a great thing, huh? Isn't it great to be on this side of the dirt? Amen? All right, thank him for that. Number two, in your running moments. Boy, that's most of our time, right? We're running, we're going, we're doing. And that's when we need him the most, and that's when I tend to forget him. That's my biggest struggle. You know, it seems like I can wake up and immediately start praising him. I can have that quiet time with him when I just enjoy him so much. It's in those running moments that I tend to get in my flesh, and I start doing it on my own instead of realizing how much I need him, you know, and how much he's with me and how much he wants me to depend on him. But remember him in your running moments. And then number three, you can talk to him in your surprising moments. That is, things you didn't expect, right? We all get surprises every day. Some are good, some are bad. But remember him. Recognize his presence in those surprising moments. Number four, in your nothing moments, you know, and what are those? You know, you're getting a shower, you're driving to work, You're waiting in line. You're stuck in traffic. Those nothing moments are a great opportunity to commune with Him, to focus on Him, to talk to Him. And instead of going texting, thank you. Instead of texting, or instead of, when you're at the stoplight, oh, that's a chance to send a text, you know, or instead of the music going, sometimes, and again, this is something I have to make myself do, in those nothing moments, just turn everything off and just focus on Him. But we're programmed to want noise. We're programmed to want to be doing all the time in our culture. And all the technology today is great, but it really, really fights for our attention if we're honest. I mean, people just don't sit all night on the front porch and talk at night anymore, do they? You know, people don't even hardly eat dinner together anymore and visit over dinner. It's just a crazy culture we live in, and it's something that I don't think you're ever going to get complete victory over. It's going to be a tension that you're going to struggle with probably your whole life. There's that tension of that. It's a constant tension. It's not something that you just get victory over and that's it. Because our culture constantly wants control of us. And so those nothing moments are precious. They really are. You know, talk to the Lord. And then the last thing is in your fading times. You know, fall asleep talking to Him and thanking Him for the day. And, I want to give an analogy here at the end. How many of you have ever traveled a really bumpy road? Raise your hand. If you ever been on a bumpy road and you're like this, you know? But you know what? You have something on your car that if it were not for that, you would literally be being thrown all over the car. You'd be like, and you know what it is on your car? Shock absorber. You have shock absorbers on your car that allow you to be able to take those bumps and not be thrown all around your car. And what I want to submit to you is that a day that has begun with Him, that quiet time with Him, and then a day run with Him, provides a powerful shock absorber for the bumpy roads that we travel each and every day. And when your quiet time with the Lord is the number one priority of your schedule, you're sending down some roots, man. You got some root systems in your life. Because you don't know when a flood's coming. You don't know when a dam is going to break. And you better take care of your roots. No one's going to do it for you. Do you know your boss doesn't care if you have quiet time with God every day? Your boss doesn't care. You know, and your spouse isn't going to make sure it happens, and your kids aren't going to make sure it happens, and your parents aren't going to make sure it happens, and your friends aren't going to make sure it happens. My point is, it's got to be you. Send down those roots, take care of your roots, because we don't know when the storms and the floods are going to come. And in your handout, it says that when you're connecting with God every day, when you're connecting with Him, it provides a peace to your heart that cannot be explained. Even in the craziness of life, it gives you a peace. It's a root that you'd better take care of, and you better guard it on your path to personal peace. Amen, church? Let's do it. I want you to really try to do that this week. And I want you to try to send down this root in your life. If it's not there, some of you already got it, that's great. But if you don't have that root, I want you to really pray about that right now and ask God to help you. Let's all bow our heads right now and let's just pray. You know, I mean, all of us have access to a Bible and we all have access to God if we know the Lord. So this isn't an access issue, all right? You're not in a third world country where you don't have a Bible. And we're not living in a time period where you've got to go through another man to talk to God. This is not an access issue. You've got complete access to God and to His Word. And so there's really no excuses, is there? So I want you right now to really pray that God will help you to set aside and carve out some time each day for this first root that we talked about.